Bet the board.
What do you mean you don't bet?
I mean, I don't bet. You know, I don't care. I don't. I never have, and I never will.
Yeah, right.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
You owe me $15,000, pal.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
It's the Bet the Board podcast.
God likes me. He really, really likes me.
In the end, I wound up right back where I started. I could still pick winners, and I could still make money for all kinds of people back home. And why mess up a good thing?
Here's Payne Insider and Todd Furman.
Welcome into the Bet the Board podcast. December 22nd, 2016, NFL Week 16. Time flies when you're having fun in the regular season. Penultimate week is upon us. I am Todd Furman, joined as always by Payne Insider. Payne, it feels like we were just getting going back in August, but the regular season is almost a distant memory.
I have a different take on that.
You feel like it's been a grind. You feel like your body's gone through a lot. You're listed as, you know, questionable each and every time we get down to recording.
If you've seen the program, I am not injured. I'm hurt, so I can play through. But it's a grind this time of year. And I'll tell you, the success hasn't been what it was to start the season. It's been the official grind. I think we're like 3 games over 500 since like week 8 or 9. So
yeah, it has definitely not been the grind. NFL season.
College football, though.
College football has been good. The NFL has not continued that heater that it started. Fortunately for our podcast listeners, they've reaped the benefits, though. We continue to stay on the straight and narrow here and should have a play later in this podcast for one of the two primetime games we'll cover in greater detail. As always, the big game breakdowns come to you courtesy of the American Gaming Association, the Bet the Board podcast brought to you by Bet Online, as always. But before we get into all things Week 16, Mr. Payne, wanted to get your quick takeaways from what we saw Monday night. The Washington Redskins, in control of their own playoff destiny, laid an egg, for a lack of a better term. Carolina finally showed some fight. Call it what you will, the Josh Norman revenge game, Cam Newton deciding that he's actually a somewhat competent quarterback, or just a ground game that was able to get going against that suspect Redskins defense.
I was looking at the contest answers, and clearly there were some folks that didn't listen to the podcast that day, which I was a little disappointed about, because that game was extremely correlated, and we talked about it. If it was the Panthers, it was under. If it was the Skins, it was over. And Carolina was able to get the ground game going. Stewart, you looked at him, monster game, averaged 5.5 yards a carry. Tolbert goes for 6.5 a carry. And then you got the mix that we saw a season ago where the big play comes off the ground game. And we talk about the explosive plays really just kind of shocking a jolt into a team's system. And I'm looking at this right now. Olsen, Ted Ginn, Philly Brown, Tolbert, Dixon, Whitaker, they all had an explosive catch. And I think if you watch that, there's no doubt Ginn Jr. probably left a player or two out in the field as well. And for the Redskins, you're looking at a team that early on in the season showed some defensive improvements, but since then they've been downright awful. You look at what they've done since week 7. They've allowed 49% of run plays to grade as successful. That's just horrible. They have been one of the worst defenses since week 7 in the league. You look at Dante Whitner. Did you see him come off the sideline back into the game?
It was not.
It looks like he's 25 pounds overweight, rolled off the couch after, you know, Thanksgiving. And you're like, oh, Ted Ginn got behind him. Well, that's a big shock. Look at the guy. He's out of shape. So that defense is a mess right now.
When you watch a game like that this late in the season, knowing what's at stake for both teams, are you more impressed by the Panthers bringing fight on national TV, looking like more like the 2015 edition that we've seen from Carolina, or more disappointed in the Redskins letting that opportunity slip through their fingers, now needing some help if they're going to get into the NFC playoff picture again?
The Redskins definitely were a disappointment on Monday night, but there's lots of underlying things you can take from team performances, and that's how we find value in the market. We talked about this a month ago. If the Redskins were going to take that next step, they were going to have to be better in the red zone on both sides of the field. So offensively not good in the red zone, defensively not good in the red zone, and then the defense has taken a step back. The ground game that, you know, they started to get a little help from Fat Rob. He was non-existent. I believe he had 9 carries for 8 yards on Monday Night Football. The Panthers on national TV, Cam Newton, you know, he likes the bright lights. We called him a front runner 2 seasons ago. I see everybody talking about that this week like it's something new. It's not. That's kind of been his MO for as long as I can remember. And we see him and his antics on the sideline after the game, after a big win. I mean, they're eliminated from the playoffs. It was pretty, it was tough to watch Cam Newton, actually. But the Panthers showed some resiliency, some fight. There's a lot of internal issues going on there. Looks like some of them have been solved, but that was the perfect game plan for them. If they can get the ground game going, they can hit you over the top for the big play, and it was kind of the perfect storm against a defense that's really, really regressed.
Cam Newton, the ultimate front runner. When things are going well, there might not be a quarterback you'd rather have on to lead the two-minute drill if he's got to sling the ball all over the yard.
No. He is... He's talented, and I think a lot of that talent has allowed him to be lazy in some situations. His form's not great, throws off the back foot a ton, leans backwards a ton. Now, the offensive line has taken a step back this season. He's been without his Pro Bowl center for a vast majority of it. Now, some weeks playing with a third-string center, so that's kind of hindered things. But when you can get the ground game going, it's definitely a more effective offense. I'll say this, Cam had 3 rushes for 0 yards in that game. And early on in that game, I wasn't quite sure how it would play out. We saw Cam have an ability to get outside, pick up 4 or 5, duck out of bounds. He takes the slide in bounds, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is going to be a very interesting game. It doesn't look like Cam's really into this one. But once they got a little lead, Cam seemed to wake up a bit. So,
Go figure. The more we see it, the more history repeats itself on a number of different levels. But a game that will most likely keep Washington on the outside looking in when we start to break down the NFC playoff picture in a few short weeks. Thankfully, Payne, our sponsor, Bet Online, we have a guy that isn't a front runner. Time to welcome in our weekly contributor, Dave Mason from Places Unknown. As always, you can follow Dave on Twitter at Dave Mason BOL. And Dave, Payne and I were a little worried about you last weekend. Appeared to be another bloodbath for the house. Wanted to make sure that the lights were still on at the shop and that you weren't running for the hills after that afternoon evening session on Sunday.
They flickered. The lights flickered a couple times, but we're still running strong. Yeah, no, we got slaughtered. No way another word can describe it. As you said, bloodbath. Yeah, it's, ever since the beginning of November, man, this NFL season, I know I sound like a broken record because I keep saying the same thing every week, but since November, I mean, the players have been doing pretty darn good in NFL and didn't stop last weekend. They won big on Patriots again, Steelers again, Raiders, Dolphins. We won a couple games, the Bears and the Eagles, and that was about it. But, it's – again, I work more on the marketing side of things, so I kind of look at it from that perspective, the glass half full kind of thing, the light at the end of the tunnel is that as people win, sure, a lot of them cash out, but action goes up as well. Actives go up, and that's the number I'm always looking at is the active numbers. You know, they go down, they go up, they go down, they go up through the course of the season, and a lot of that is determined on how the book does. You know, those weekends when we slaughter players, when we do real good, well, then the next week the action is down a little bit because people don't have money in their accounts. So the opposite of that is when we get our asses handed to us and the players are winning big, then our active numbers are great. So then, you know, casino numbers will go up. More action comes in on basketball and hockey and all the other sports. And this weekend's action on football is going to be great. You know, sometimes Christmas weekend, the action is down a little bit, but this weekend is going to be great. So, yeah, we might get slaughtered again, but let's move on to the next week. So that's how we look at it. As long, you know, our guys have deep pockets and then it's just, yeah, sure, we want to win more, but those weekends you lose, numbers go up, so it's not as bad as people make it out to be.
Dave, as we transition to week 16, speaking of that holiday action, anything lining up as a huge decision where the public's just coming in at an overwhelming clip?
Yeah, lots. Again, the public tonight, the public's on the Giants. About 74% of the money's on the Giants, even though that number's going down due to sharp action on the other side. This weekend's games, 92% of the early bets are on the Chargers against the Browns. 82% of the early bets are on the Packers versus the Vikings, and 92% of the early bets are on the Titans at the Jaguars. So, yeah, there's going to be some sweats out there again. Hopefully we'll win a couple. Teasers will be in play big time. That Monday night game with the Cowboys, that everything's going to be teased with that Cowboys at minus seven. So people are going to be teasing that down.
And that Cowboys-Lions game, again, for folks that are tuning in, we'll have a big game breakdown later on in the podcast. Some injury concerns there, I'm sure, Payne, you'll have some strong thoughts one way or another on that particular game. Now, Dave, along the same lines as there being public money trickling in, have you seen any inkling of where the professionals are laying down their cash this weekend?
Yeah, as I mentioned, the Eagles tonight, plus 2.5, even and better. That's now plus 2. Minus 113. So, yeah, that's one of those reverse line movements going on there, which haven't treated. Usually we love those reverse line movements, but now we see them. We're like, oh, God, here we go again. But that and the Broncos. Broncos at plus 4 sharp. That's now plus 3, plus 105. That's about it so far. More will be coming in later today. So I'll be tweeting that out at Dave Mason BOL. So check out my Twitter account. I'll be tweeting out some sharp stuff. Not that it's been that good the last couple weeks, but we'll give it another shot this weekend.
And one last thing, Dave, before we get to the promos that our listeners can expect at Bet Online, we need a good holiday story from your time in this business, something you've seen that's pretty funny, and hopefully it's not nearly on the same level of what we saw at the Chargers game with one of their security guards last weekend.
That was something else, man. I mean, I saw that yesterday. I was like, what the hell's going on there? That guy has balls, man, no pun intended, but I don't know what's going to happen to him. But anyways, funny Christmas story.
I mean, you go Christmas story, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah. We're open to all different denominations on this podcast.
The thing is, like, living in this part of the world, you're so out of it when the holidays roll around, unfortunately. You know, it's hotter than hell out here. You watch the news back home, and it's snowing, and people are freezing. You watch these NFL games, and there's snow, and everybody's bundled up, and then – here we are, you know, just sweating our asses off. It's a shame, but you don't even really realize it's Christmas or the holidays down here. You just don't get in the spirit as much. It kind of sucks, but yeah, you just look at the betting lines and wow, it's Christmas. Here we go this weekend, but you know, it sure doesn't feel like it. Especially, well, I guess we feel like Santa. We're giving out so much money, but hopefully we'll get a little back this weekend. Hey, speaking of which, speaking about big money, we start up a Bad Beat jackpot in the poker room, and it's up to $155,000. So quad jacks are better. If you lose with quad jacks, are better. The Bad Beat jackpot and people at the table is yours. And again, that's up to $155,000. So a lot of people don't know we have a poker, but yes, we do.
Good way for people to diversify some of their gambling interests when all the football, basketball games, and other menagerie of holiday sporting events run out in the wee hours of the morning. What type of promotions for folks that are already existing customers with you guys are going on, Dave? And of course, if folks still haven't signed up for an account at BetOnline, what can they expect when they first load up their accounts?
First time depositors at BetOnline, head over to the site betonline.ag, sign up for an account. Use promo code 75BTB. That's 75BTB for 75% welcome bonus. If you already have a BetOnline account and you have not used the reload bonus yet, use promo code 50BTB for a 50% one-time reload bonus. The max bonus on either of those is $1,000, so you can get a lot of money in your account for all the holiday weekend action.
Dave, always great getting your perspective. I know a lot of our listeners could care less about you guys actually getting into the win column, but maybe there's a piece of pain in the eye of the roof for you guys to at least get one decision your way this holiday. But enjoy, stay cool down there, and remember, when you're watching all these games that are frozen on TV, don't feel too bad about people in 15 degrees below zero and snow on the ground. You, Payne, and I get the best of it not having to deal with that wintry weather.
Yeah, man, I just walk out to the beach, all good.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great holiday weekend.
All right, great holiday weekend, guys.
He breaks down everything from the way the book has kind of struggled with some of these public sides throughout the course of the NFL season, at least over the last 5 to 7 weeks. Are you at all surprised, having extensive experience on this side of the counter, with some of the success the public is having right now, backing some of the heavy favorites, playing road chalk? I mean, you don't want to simplify the process, but lately it's almost been, hey, just go out there, fade the 49ers, fade the Browns, and you're going to get to the window with alarming regularity.
Yeah, those teams are just so bad right now. I'm not sure bookmakers have obviously caught up at this point. I've certainly had a few losses on those teams, specifically the Browns, over the last month or so of the season. And I'll say this, it's weird from that perspective when we talk about the Browns. The numbers in terms of the market seem to be correct because they're getting professional love on some of those numbers. You know, we talked about that Cincinnati Bengals game. Got as high as 6, closes, you know, soft 4. So there's been that sharp money on the Browns. And so as a bookmaker, where do you open it? You're getting hit from the sharp money on this number. You don't want to go up too high. But it's been tough for them. So they have at least gotten, and I know we talk about this all the time, the public has their say in the NFL, but they have gotten some sharp money, certain sports books on the dog at those prices. So it's tough to open it much higher.
Yeah, and we talk about two games that Dave mentioned that didn't do so well for the house in the late afternoon, with New England and Denver going the way of the general public, the same thing, depending on the number you were able to grab on the Raiders-Chargers. Again, perfect examples. You see professional money coming in on the home underdog Chargers that take that number from 3 to 2.5, and even a 2 at some shops. And of course, that Denver-New England game, most of the spots you looked couldn't get to 3.5 because there was an appetite on the dog at 3. The general public wins, and books are in the position more often than not to go, you know what? We feel comfortable with the professionals, and we're going to be able to try and use them to determine exactly where that number needs to go.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. For whatever reason, and we've kind of been talking about this, there was a market shift a few years ago in the NFL, and we saw where they just really catered to the sharp guy. They were so fearful of sharp money in the NFL, despite having this overwhelming boatload of public money come in. We've talked about this all the time, a little ticked off about it. Like, hey, listen, the public has their say. You're going to get a ton of money here. Just put the number where you want to put it. It gives us a little more value. But it doesn't seem to be the case where, you know, the market just hasn't really completely adjusted for some of these teams just being so porous this year. It's really been, we're starting to see it though. We're starting to see it at the top. I'll say this. There's, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams that we're going to talk playoffs, and you can kind of just throw them into a hat based on matchup that can prevail and potentially win the Super Bowl. But once you get past those 5, 6, 7 teams, there's not a ton great behind it. There's a huge gap.
Oh, and I think we're going to get ample opportunity when we bet these playoff games for reasons that you mentioned. Power numbers say one thing. On-field X's and O's and matchups say something very different. So it'll be fascinating to watch to see how bookmakers adjust. You're not talking about inferior teams expecting them to go out there, put together a complete 60 minutes, and do things that are going to get you to the window as a bettor.
All about the matchup. It's something we kind of gravitate towards. And again, it's where you can find some value. You get teams that continue to win games, but they're going to have a deficiency here. And if you can get the right underdog or a short favorite that is successful in a category or a specific instance of a game that they're facing the opponent, you know, you're going to have value there. And I know there's a lot of games this weekend that we're going to talk about. That's not a great slate of games, but if you can find a specific matchup and the market hasn't really taken it into account, you're going to have some value there.
And you mentioned value. You mentioned finding the best of the number. There was one loyal Bet the Board listener who hit the nail on the head Monday, and I know we've made people wait with bated breath probably a little longer than they anticipated into this podcast to announce the first ever Bet the Board podcast winner. Hopefully this is something that we can do more often than not. But I believe you have that magical envelope in front of you, Mr. Payne.
I do. The turnout for the 100th episode Twitter contest was huge. So thanks to everybody that participated in that. We actually had, looking at this, 12 people hit the right trio of Panthers, under, and Jonathan Stewart, but the guy that won pegged Jonathan Stewart for 136 yards. Stewart had 140, so that's the winner. His name is Charles, and he goes by DartPunk79 on Twitter, so congrats to him. Actually had a chance to speak with him this week. He wants the Skype interview, so we'll have to find some time in January that meshes with your oh-so-busy schedule, Todd.
We'll find a way. We, as we say, we can't thank all the loyal listeners enough for their contributions every week through social media, which you can always find all things Bet the Board at Bet the Board Pod. You can tweet at Payne at Payne Insider or my Twitter handle at Todd Furman. More than happy to try and address some of those questions, concerns, conundrums, quandaries, anything else that really gets you going as it pertains to the NFL. But congrats to Charles. Like you said, Payne, you reached out. We'll share some of those details and hopefully do more of these contests to get some fan involvement and user engagement as we get into the postseason and on to the future of Bet the Board. But as always, for folks that want to show the support for the podcast that weren't able to win the free swag, check out BetTheBoardPodcast.com. Click on Gambling Gear. All sorts of great t-shirt varieties that you can wear to your favorite holiday events, Christmas parties, New Year's Eve bashes, everything that you have on the agenda during this festive holiday season.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We're actually running out of a lot of some of the popular styles. The Hedging is for Landscapers is all but sold out. There's only a handful of those. So you definitely, supplies are starting to go during the holiday season. We have an uptick in some t-shirts. So you're going to want to grab those as soon as you can.
And one other promotion that I know we talked about on Monday has also seen some positive support from our friends at DonBestSports.com. The DonBest mobile app, available for Android and iPhone users in two varieties, gold and platinum, depending on your appetite for getting line movement from all the biggest books, including BetOnline, Vegas Sportsbooks, and some other large offshores. $50 a month will get you everything in real time. It's the tool that professionals use to get the best of the number. If that isn't quite in your budget or not something you're looking for, they do have a gold version available. That's right about a two-minute delay, but it'll give you a great chance to see what direction the market's going. And for all of our Bet the Board podcast listeners, we're working on a referral code. But in the meantime, if you sign up for a DonBest mobile account, tweet us at Bet the Board Pod. We'll get that free month of service tacked on. And like we said, as we get into the pressure-packed months of the National Football League season, college basketball, NBA, and Major League Baseball right around the corner, when you're leaving the house, you're out there, you'll have great line information, real-time score updates, injuries, all the best information right there with the convenience of your mobile phone.
Yeah, and I said this on Monday's podcast, unless I'm using it, there's not much I'm willing to market. Now, listen, if you pay me the right dollar amount, I'll do whatever I need to do. But
we'll get you into the mattress business. We'll get you some vodka to go against Tito's. We'll find ways to get you to endorse some products.
But I mean I use this religiously. It's on 24/7, 365. The money that I should say this, you know. Being able to shop prices is just invaluable. I mean, it's just so valuable being able to get the best of the number. We talk about having all these different outs. You need to have multiple outs. But having the time to just look it up on your DonBest screen, pop into the account that you know that number's at, is just so valuable. You know, potentially losing a number just ticks me the F off. It's probably, for me, worse than losing a game. So having the DonBest screen, being able to check out, you know, what lines are available and being able to get them in real time is just invaluable.
We talk about it all the time. The margin for error in this business, percentage points here and there, the difference between getting 21.5 or 21 on a first half total, 2.5 versus 3, just to name a few, goes a long way. So if you're going to try and treat this as a little bit more than a hobby, make sure you put the time in. Give yourself those tools that you need to be successful in this business. Paying on to the games, though, a marquee matchup for your local boys as they head into Western New York to take on the Buffalo Bills. We look at Miami, an extra day to prepare for this trip up there. BetOnline has Buffalo a 3.5-point home favorite, total in this game 41.5. Let's break down the matchup from soup to nuts. Matt Moore, can he repeat what we saw against the Jets, or will Buffalo's ground-and-pound attack be too much for Miami's defense to hold at bay?
In life and in football, my friend, what goes up must come down. Matt Moore, he gets two wins last week. He gets a healthy newborn baby all in 1 week. That's quite the high. I envision there'll be a crash this week. As good as Matt Moore was last Saturday, and he was fantastic. You look at some of these offensive numbers. They averaged a league-best 13.1 yards per pass attempt last week. But that was against the Jets secondary. They ranked 27th in yards per pass attempt allowed, 24th in success rate. They were missing two starters on top of that. That's not going to be the case this week against Buffalo. And one thing on film, as good as Matt Moore was and has been as a backup, that gunslinger mentality gets him in trouble at times. He's not great as an intermediate thrower, not necessarily because he can't make the short to intermediate, but because his eyes are always deep down the field. He's always looking for that grand slam. And if that happens this week and you don't connect and you can't maintain possession as an offense, it's going to be trouble. Because we've talked about their defense. It's thin. It spent a ton of time on the field this season. It ranks 31st in the NFL. They allow 4.8 yards per rush attempt. And you look at the last 3 weeks, that number goes up to 5.7. And now you're going on the road against a rival. And that's the one thing the Buffalo Bills can do. They can run the ball. Number one in the NFL, 5.5 yards per carry. 55% of their runs grayed out is successful. It's not a great matchup for the Dolphins this week.
Do we think there's still value and opportunity with Buffalo as a 3.5-point favorite? Obviously, 3 probably a number that gets you and I to the party, but 3.5, a slightly different handicap.
I feel like I'm going to need to trademark that quote.
I think that's going to be what we're going to put on a shirt.
Is that, you know, as we start to look towards,
yeah, 2017 edition of t-shirts. And of course, we'll take all your suggestions. You know, we're going to get a first half under. We're going to get a Bet the Board logo tee, and maybe, you know, blank, blank, blank gets me to the party. I feel like we have a few t-shirt varieties. Maybe go 2 or 3, buy larger quantities, and watch those things sell like hotcakes.
There you go. I agree. At 3, I was really interested. At the current price, juice 3.5, 4, a little bit tougher. Not sure the number's going to come into play. I do want to do some reading there. There's some question marks with Byron Maxwell. Xavien Howard filled in admirably last week. So there's a couple of things that I want to check out, a couple guys on the injury report that I'm going to need to see if they're going to go or not. But for me, I'm on the sidelines. 3 definitely would have been a nice number to lay with the Bills.
From the frigid temperatures of Western New York and a division rivalry to a game with some playoff implications, but it should be a little balmier on the West Coast, where the Indianapolis Colts head out on the highway for the second straight week to take on the Oakland Raiders. We talked about this game a little bit on Monday, Payne. We figured there was going to be sharp money on the Colts. Lo and behold, it hit the market. A number that opened 4, trending down to 3.5. The Raiders, a 3.5-point favorite at BetOnline. You do have to lay $1.12 as we sit here and record right now. Total in this game, 52.5. The Raiders have been a team that's befuddled the sharp guys to a certain extent. I feel like they go against them damn near every week. Oftentimes, the Colts are on that list. We saw sharp money coming against the Vikings. But maybe a favorable matchup for Indianapolis and their ability to attack that Raiders secondary, with the one major caveat being they have to keep Andrew Luck upright. And I'm not sure if you were surprised. I know you saw it. Andrew Luck, number 2 in the league as graded out quarterback as far as Pro Football Focus is concerned. So everyone who wants to claim doom and gloom, Luck can't do this, can't do that, the guy is doing more with less, and probably the only reason that Chuck Pagano and Ryan Grigson still have a job.
He is the concrete foundation to that organization, without question. I think when you look at this, there's games where you kind of have to respect the market, and this is one of those games. For me, this number's extremely short. There's no doubt about it. 3, 3.5, that is a short, short number. But you have Oakland. They're in the playoffs now. It's kind of a sigh of relief. The monkey's off the back. They haven't been able to do that in nearly a decade. So from that perspective, you might have the deep breath situation. I also am not going to find a ton of value, I think, in teams that win by that margin that the Colts did last week. I get it that this is a game that they need like blood. The defense has shown some signs of improvement the last few weeks. So for me, I'm going to respect the Colts money. I am not going to find myself on the Colts this week. That's just one thing that's not going to happen for me. But when you look at 4, and we talk about taking points in the NFL, you talk about a Colts team that does pass the ball very well, that does take some shots down the field, that will find opportunity against that Oakland secondary. When you're talking 4, I mean, this is a team that could trail by 10 the entire game. It's why points are so valuable and find yourself in the back door. I will say this, though. If Oakland cares in this matchup, they're going to be able to play keep away. They're going to be able to run the ball because Indianapolis, they have shown defensive improvements, but they cannot stop the run. They're 31st in the league defensively at stopping the run. So You can use that Oakland offensive line just to maul them, keep Andrew Luck and that offense on the sidelines. And that's what would scare me a little bit about this game, especially backing Indianapolis at 3, 3.5, not getting that 4.
You mentioned keep away. Do you think that's the reason that we're seeing a little bit of under money come trickling into the market here?
I think that, and then when you look at what Oakland's offense has done the last few weeks, they're starting to sputter a little bit. There doesn't seem to be that chemistry there with Carr and some of his wide receivers, specifically Amari Cooper. You look at some of those explosive play stats. They're just not there right now for Oakland, so that has a great deal to do with it. But when you look at this game and how it could potentially play out, when you have those type of offenses, you look at a game when you're looking for overs in general, you want a team to kind of get out and another team to play catch-up. In either situation here, if a team that has to play catch-up with these two offenses, it's going to end up leaking over. But if Oakland can play keep away, that's the strategy. That's got to be the game plan this week. So that would scare me going over.
Well, I mean, it makes for an interesting angle. And we talk about live betting and some of the opportunities that are available in 2016 for bettors. Maybe if one of these teams grabs a 2-touchdown lead, you'll have that chance if it starts slow. A game that jumped off the page, and I know it was way back early in the season, but when we went over in the Colts-Chargers game, started ridiculously slow. One team got behind, and then they kind of threw caution to the wind. It became chuck and duck, and that game went flying over the number. Maybe a similar scenario could unfold here if that was the case.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to go under in a game where the Colts are playing catch-up. That's bottom line. So when the Colts are in catch-up mode, good luck if you're on the under.
Into the Saturday night game, excuse me. Of course, all these games taking place on Saturday, December 24th, Christmas Eve. Into Houston Texans, where the Texans right now, we'll call them a pick'em to win the division alongside the Tennessee Titans, the Indianapolis Colts, the aforementioned long shot in the AFC South, about 18-1, the going market rate there. You've seen a lot of money come in on Cincinnati. Houston opened as a 2.5, 3-point favorite. They're down to a 1-point chalk at BetOnline. Total in this game, 41.5. Cincinnati Payne should get the services of A.J. Green back, although he was limited in practice earlier this week. They played their Super Bowl last week against Pittsburgh. We haven't talked in great detail about the change under center for the Houston Texans and what the power rating looks like from Brock Osweiler to Tom Savage. Clearly, in a limited sample size, he gave them the downfield passing threat that Brock hadn't. DeAndre Hopkins back in the fold. But I really have no idea what to think in this particular game. Obviously, you want to get your thoughts here.
It's tough when you're talking Bengals. You know, they were all in last week, crapped the bed in the second half, lost their Super Bowl. Then you transition to this week. It was initially a public dog. I think there was some sharp money, not necessarily taking a position, but knowing where the market was going to go, and you can just take 3 and figure the rest out later. It's beneficial to do so. A.J. Green, as you alluded to, potentially coming back and playing. I don't know why. If you're like the if you're the GM, if you're the owner, I don't care. Like, he's got it. It's a meaningless game. Sit him down. Now, if he comes out and says, listen, like, I'm playing, like, you know, there's some escalators, there's some clauses, there's some bonuses I need to reach, you can't really sit him down. If he feels like he's 100%, that could be the case here. I'll say this. I don't know what the downgrade is from Brock to Savage, or if there's an upgrade. I think everybody, no matter how sharp you are, it's kind of just an educated guess at this point. Savage has known to have the big arm to throw the ball deep down the field, and he was successful coming off the bench versus a team that didn't game plan for him. So this is going to be a little bit different this week. There's a half a football plus on him. There's a team that's going to specifically game plan for him. I will say this. I think it needs to be a heavy dose of the ground game. The defense for Houston's banged up a little bit, so you're going to have to monitor those injuries. That's why we saw the steam last week on Jacksonville. When you talk about Merciless and Simon, so those two guys missed last week. You're going to have to monitor that this week. But the game plan should be with Savage. You look at Cincinnati across the field, 25th in the NFL. They allow 4.4 yards per carry. They're 20th in the NFL. They allow 47% of runs to be successful. It needs to be a heavy dose of Lamar Miller. And then you use Tom Savage's strength with the deep arm off of play action there. That needs to be the game plan this week for Houston.
Do we think when we look at this game, it's going to be difficult? And I'm not even sure why I should ask this question, because I'm pretty sure I know the answer. That the Bengals can duplicate the energy level we saw last week against the Steelers?
Just
for the hopes of playing spoiler at this point in the season?
I think so, but last week, I mean, there was just so much emotion there early on. Pittsburgh is the team they hate most. Pittsburgh is the team that crushed their dreams a year ago. And if they could have duplicated, reciprocated that favor this year, kind of ruined their hopes and dreams, and that they were all in last week. So it's going to be interesting to see that level of emotion this week, a follow-up effort. It is in – this is the primetime game, is it not? I'm looking at the Don Best schedule NFL right Network now, 8:25 primetime. The one thing that makes this game so tough for me is because we hate both teams. So, you know, from your season outlook, you're going to have your market indicators going into the season at the halfway point towards the end of the season. Is this a buy team? Is this a sell team? And both of these teams throughout the course of the entire tenure have been sell teams, really. I mean, we picked a spot or two there with Houston. I know we had them on the road against Indianapolis. They win that game outright. But for the most part, as an overall scale, both these teams were on the sell list. Houston, not very good. Cincinnati, not very good. So it's really tough for me to find a ton of value right here at the current number, 1.5, pick them. I just don't see a ton on this game.
The funny part about that is we mentioned the Texans is a team that we were looking to sell. I do know a pretty prominent sharp group out here in the desert that has a substantial investment in the Texans to win the division, and it's been an ongoing debate between me and some of those guys about Brock Osweiler. I try to give Brock the benefit of the doubt. Saw them this week, and they pretty much said, well, Tom Savage is going to be the starting quarterback. Are you finally going to admit that Brock Osweiler isn't a worthy NFL starting quarterback? I had kind of had to put my tail between my legs and slink off into the corner, because clearly Bill O'Brien has spoken volumes that he's going to go with an inexperienced starter here in his most pivotal football games, not only this week against the Bengals, but the potential showdown next week in Nashville to decide division supremacy against the Titans.
It looks like O'Brien's won the battle between coach and management. Management really wanted Brock. They really wanted to see what he could do. They spent all that money. They want to see their investment come to fruition before their eyes. That's not the case. They're going to go with Savage, the guy that gives them, you know, right now, probably the best chance. Again, this will be a very good indicator now that there's some film on him. There's a team that can game plan for him for the entire week, not just someone that, you know, pops in off the bench and we haven't game planned for that guy. So it's going to be completely different. I will say that.
And before we leave the Saturday slate to go on to the tandem of games that will be taking place on Christmas Day, I wanted to get your thoughts if there was anything else that jumped off the page for some of the lesser matchups on Saturday.
Nothing too crazy. I mean, I would envision there's going to be some sharp guys. They've already gone a little bit on the Browns once again. When you look at San Diego, traveling across the country, Some decent cold weather there that they're not accustomed to. Back-to-back weeks where they've kind of crapped the bed against, you know, games they might have, could have won. I'm not sure what we get out of San Diego. I mean, Cleveland is that bad. One thing I was looking at when I was looking at the Cleveland Browns, and we were backing them early in the season, they were able to run the ball. They were actually one of the more efficient ground teams. And when you have an underdog, you have a team that's not very good, that's what you look for. Can we run the ball? Can we shorten the game? That's the key there. But there's been some injuries to that offensive line where the last few weeks they've been out without both starting guards, and they have not been able to run the ball. I think they've went from early on in that season where they're averaging over 5 yards a carry, you know, you're down now to below 3.5 yards a carry, and it's because their two starting guards have been out. And that's why they haven't been overly successful with the ground game, able to shorten that game a little bit. You look at San Diego. I mean, one thing, they've been pretty good this year. They've made a massive leap with that defensive line, able to stop the run. It was a team that was nearly dead last year. You know, now they're hovering around the top five in that category. So this is a game where it looks like RG3 is going to potentially have to make some plays. I don't know, but I can tell you, you know, there's going to be sharp guys on Cleveland this week.
Hey, it sounds like a broken record. We talk about the Browns and sharp money coming in there. There is no doubt about it. On to Sunday, where we see two marquee divisional matchups. I have to thank the NFL for setting the schedule up the way they did. Major playoff implications in both of them. The Pittsburgh Steelers playing host to the Baltimore Ravens in the early game. So after you get through your NBA viewing, Pittsburgh, a 5-point favorite at BetOnline. Total in this game, 44.5. Obviously, the big injury to keep tabs on for the Ravens. We've talked about it for weeks. Jimmy Smith, will he or won't he go? The Ravens have owned this series of late, and I was surprised to look at some of the numbers, and I think we can probably attribute that to a coaching mismatch between John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin.
Jimmy Smith is all that matters. That's it. We've been talking about this, you know, all season. Anytime we break down – a Ravens game and Jimmy Smith is questionable, it makes things tough. He didn't practice Wednesday, so you're going to have to monitor that situation. And we kind of compared it to quarterbacks almost. Jimmy Smith is a very good cornerback. Is he above average? Yeah. Is he a good cornerback? Yeah. Is he elite? Nah, probably not. But when you look at the landscape of that secondary and what they have behind him, there's just nobody. And so we dug into this a little bit, wanted to break things down, you know, with Jimmy, without Jimmy. When he's in there, they grade out as the sixth best pass defense. When he's out, the games he's missed, that Ravens secondary drops all the way to dead last in the NFL against the pass. And one specific matchup, we went back to 2011, monitored the games where he played, because he does get injured a lot. That's one knack on him. He's a Drew Rosenhaus client, so I'm kind of familiar with that situation. When they went in there for renegotiation, they're like, look, listen, the guy's knee, he's been out a bunch. But they know his value to the team. So since 2011, he came into the league, there's been 8 games where him and Antonio Brown have been able to go head-to-head matchup. Antonio Brown has only had one touchdown in those 8 games. He's only eclipsed 100 yards once. So Jimmy Smith is vital, especially in this matchup. He's been really able to take Antonio Brown out of the mix when they go one-on-one.
Jimmy's feeling good. Jimmy wants to ask Elaine out on a date. When we look at this, assuming that Jimmy Smith does go, do we think we see, safe to say that we'll see money in the fives disappear, trending towards 4.5, and if he's ruled out, that this number could climb as high as 6? Or is it the kind of thing that we talk about all the time, that the market just can't properly quantify the absence of someone not named Ben Roethlisberger or Joe Flacco in this particular game?
It'll be interesting to see where it goes. I think if it were to move based on Jimmy Smith, it's because of the sharp guys. They see value in some of the stuff that I presented. You're looking at right now pretty much even money on this game, 50-50 split right now as we're talking early Thursday morning. So I think the books have to feel pretty good there with balanced action. You're right now in that dead area. You know, this gets down to 4, you know, a secondary key number. It trends up towards 6. That's really been one of the more movers in terms of key numbers when you talk about the extra point being moved back. So right now we're in that true dead zone. And I think the market right now getting perfect balanced action, and the sports books probably don't mind it right here.
No, and a game that'll essentially amount to an elimination type scenario. The loser of this game, a very difficult road to even sneak back into the playoff picture. Control your destiny, and you can make things happen here. Pittsburgh, obviously the overwhelming favorite to win the division, given the fact that they see themselves as a 5-point favorite in this matchup. Into the nightcap at Arrowhead, where the Denver Broncos will try and get back in the win column with their dwindling playoff hopes on the line yet again. They're 3-point underdogs. You do have to, you can take a price with Denver as a 3-point dog. Kansas City, -3, -125 at BetOnline. Total in this game, 37.5. We've seen some under money come in. Overwhelming, probably not the right word, Payne. A public sentiment looking to back Kansas City. We've talked about the Chiefs at great lengths on this podcast. A team that can be difficult to figure out with some of their struggles for extended periods on the offensive side. But Denver, quite frankly, doesn't have the players on offense you need to exploit Kansas City's defense at its weakest points.
This is one of the toughest games for me to gauge. When you look at the Chiefs, and we've been probably their largest critic, and we try to find value in fading them. We talked about if you could get 7 last week, that would have gotten us to the party. You had that opportunity. There were some 6.5 out there with a pretty short buy. I'll tell you this. The Chiefs have outgained 2 of their last 9 opponents. So they're not winning these games in the box score. And I know everyone's kind of heard that a bunch from us. The question is, can the Broncos get the ground game going at all? And you look at this matchup and you say, maybe. Maybe they can, especially with Derek Johnson out. And it doesn't need to be a ground game that just pummels you for like 200 yards. It just needs to be one of those games where they feel a little bit threatened, where you can put up 75, 80 yards and compliment Trevor Siemian. Because you look at this, the last 8 weeks, Trevor Simeon's lined up back there and chucked it on average 40 times. That's what you can't do that with a quarterback of that quality, of that caliber. I know it's the new school NFL, but you have to have some semblance of a ground game. And I think, let's just kind of paint this picture for him. Right now, 70% of the tickets coming in on Kansas City, and this number has dropped from 4.5 to a juiced 3. There is some soft 3.5 out there. very respected money on Denver on the dog here. Right now at this price, I don't have anything. I won't be on this game. One thing that is a little tricky for me here, the number feels short on the total, and we keep kind of going back to these Kansas City totals and why they're staying under. One, the Arrowhead effect. Two, the coaching. We saw it last week. Kansas City kind of gets out. That game plan that Andy Reid comes up with is so fantastic. It kind of stuns the opponent early on. But the adjustment, the in-game stuff that's really hindered Andy Reid, and then he kind of shuts it down and goes conservative a little bit. We've seen them struggle in the second half, and these totals seem to be going over first half and just staying way under full game. So that's what scared me a little bit here. But when you have a team like Denver that is just throwing at the amounts they're throwing at, man, 37 is tough.
Yeah, I mean, they have that burst, Kansas City. They score what appears to be two touchdowns in about 4 minutes and then do nothing for the duration of the game. You talk about a low total here. So many things actually need to go right when you're going to go under a full game total at 37.5. So I even see some 37 out there. 2017 gets you a push or you sneak in there by the hook. So when you talk about these teams and what's at stake here, should be an interesting game to try and keep tabs on and see how these offenses perform. And exactly what the field position scenario looks like when you can almost factor in, you don't want to say every week blindly, Payne, that you'll get a defensive or special teams touchdown in games involving the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, when you got Tyreek Hill out there on one end being a positive, and then you look at Jordan Norwood, who's got the hiccups, potentially fielding punts deep in his own end, creating short fields, you know, it's tough. It's tough.
Speaking of Jordan Norwood, how is he still on an NFL roster?
I asked you that question when they played the Chiefs last game. I would have like fired him, shit-canned him like on the spot. First of all, he's not very good. And I hate to say this, and I hate to be like the fan guy. You know, we always watch like NBA games, like that guy stinks. And then you like sit back and think, you're like, okay, 10 guys on a roster, 30 teams, and there's like one of the best 300 players in the world. So you don't want to be like that guy stinks, but he's not, he doesn't help you on offense. He's not helping you on special teams. He doesn't have that dynamic burst. He's not fast. He's not quick. I mean, I don't know. I do not know. He should not be on an NFL roster.
Yeah, well, at least we've sorted out that mystery then. It's one thing solved today on Bet the Board for NFL Week 16. On to the prime time games brought to you every week by the American Gaming Association. If you'd like to learn more about their ongoing efforts in legalization, check out their great work, American Gaming. .org. Follow them on Twitter at Ammer, A-M-E-R, Gaming, G-A-M-I-N-G, A-S-S-N. It is the mission of the AGA to be the single most effective champion of the industry, relentlessly protecting against harmful and often misinformed public policies and paving a path for growth, innovation, and reinvestment. You can sign up for updates right to your inbox, AmericanGaming.org/about/contact. And Payne, I'm going to give you the floor here. Do we want to start with the Monday nighter between Lions and Cowboys? Just to remind our listeners, there will not be a Monday podcast because of the holiday, so we'll give you everything you need to know about that game now. Or should we start with the Thursday night affair with the Giants and Eagles?
I'm going to let you do your job. I'm going to let you pick.
All right, we'll go
I'm
going to
let you lead the way.
We'll go with Lions and Cowboys because I think we have stronger sentiments on the Eagles and Giants and like to leave people with something nice that they can put in their holiday stockings before we close up shop here in just a little bit. The Dallas Cowboys, 7-point favorites at BetOnline, lay $1.15. Total in this game, 44.5. We talked about it on Monday, thought the total looked a little bit short. It has been heading straight north. And as we alluded to in the interview with Dave Mason, a major injury in Key Cog of the Detroit offense that should be back in the fold as the Lions playoff potential hangs in the balance.
I think there's a couple things with this total when we talked about it at 41.5. Number one, you have an extremely fast surface. Number two, yes, road game for the Lions, but dome environment, which they're used to. And we talked about that last week. There's a lot of guys, a lot of the public, they gravitated towards that public dog a week ago. But they were outside, and that was their first outdoor game and last since week four of the season. So that played a role there. I think Matthew Stafford has kind of gotten used to this mechanism on his hand. We saw him in game the week prior. You know, he's trying on different gloves. They didn't have one specific for it. Now he's got one specific for the hand where it looks like just like a glove over the finger that's been injured, that's been broken, and has torn ligaments. And so he's now accustomed to that, which I think helps. But when you talk about some of the matchups there, Detroit cannot stop the run. 27th in defensive success rate and stopping the run. We know that's where this Dallas Cowboys team is going to feast. We have also seen how to kind of score points on Dallas's defense, and it's not allow them to get their subs in, let them play fast. Maybe we see a Detroit team that plays a little bit more up-tempo this week. And I think what we're looking at now, and you alluded to the injury, Jim Caldwell's playing very coy with this. He just says, hey, you know, check the injury report on Theo Riddick. Just check it. He is expected to play, but it's something you're going to have to monitor. He's so vital to this offense. He is just a matchup nightmare, and that's what you look for as an offensive coach. Let's find one matchup that we can exploit, and it's Theo Riddick on a linebacker. It's Theo Riddick on a safety, and he really, really gets the offense going. The one other thing to this is, and we haven't, you know, not a lot of people talking about this, I have clamored for Darius Slay being like one of the best cornerbacks in all of football. He's not expected to play Monday, so he's out. You don't have that matchup where you can take your cornerback, your stopper, and stick him on Dez. Without Darius Slay, there is just not much in that secondary. He is going to be a huge void. So now you talk about a team that can't stop the run and is without their best defensive cornerback. It's going to create some offense in this spot.
Yeah, still nursing that hamstring injury. Wanted to ask you a little bit about the handicap on Monday night. That'll obviously change after we know the result of tonight's game between the Eagles and Giants. Let's play out this scenario where the Giants go into Philadelphia and the Giants lose. Does Dallas take a much different approach knowing that they have the division cinched up versus a scenario where the Giants win and still keep pressure on Dallas to secure the NFC East before going into Week 17?
I think that question gets answered with, how big are your huevos? I think if you can dictate that the Eagles are going to have a shot tonight, there are some, you know, we talk about parlays all the time. And there's some that have a value to them, and there's some that don't. And I think there's probably a correlated parlay there. I've looked in some accounts and seen that this week. Eagles to Detroit. meaning if the Eagles win this game, and basically just, you know, that gives Dallas the division at that point. What does Dallas play for? Now, Dallas has come out and said, hey, we're going to play some of our guys. But if you get in a situation where it's meaningless, yeah, maybe you play them to, you know, keep them involved, get them a few reps, keep them warm. You don't want to get out of rhythm offensively. You don't want guys playing. It's very easy to get out of shape. You don't want guys that, you know, don't have their win come playoff time. So you want to get them some reps in that regard. But there's been a hint at, you know, maybe we sit them in the second half. So, you know, that's kind of the value play with that specific parlay, Eagles to Detroit.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting thought process. And, you know, never having played the game myself or coached or anything like that, take it with a grain of salt. When you're talking about sitting players now, Week 16, which a game that would be taking place on December 26th, Dallas not playing another meaningful football game, Week 17, throw that out, a bye week, 3.5 weeks. I think it might be a leap of faith to start sitting guys now and expect them to come out with precision and be crisp when we get into the divisional round of the NFC playoffs.
It also could potentially open Pandora's box. I believe I was reading that they said they would go to Sanchez. Did I read that correctly?
That they would go to Sanchez. Yeah, that's what I had seen as well, that Tony Romo won't be the guy that would come in mop-up duty. It would be Sanchez taking the reps. I just think that you're creating a potential scenario rather than trying to keep your foot to the pedal here. We know that if Detroit loses, the game doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot, I guess, in the grand scheme of things, only because the division will be decided against the Packers. But now with Washington having lost, the Lions still have some other scenarios where they can get in. So I just don't know. I'm of the mentality, Payne, I think as soon as you start to take your foot off the accelerator, it never ends well, especially for a team that hasn't experienced a whole lot of playoff prosperity. If it's the Patriots, okay, much different story. They've been there, done that. The Dallas Cowboys, not so much.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I would think it's interesting to see these bet splits right now as I look at them. More tickets right now on Detroit. And obviously I think that probably changes a touch as we get to the bailout game that standalone late game. So that'll be interesting to monitor a little bit. But that's been the thought process. There has been some, you know, some sharp money on Detroit a little bit, but it's more in that mindset of we like the Eagles to do some dirty work tonight, and now we're going to get some value on Detroit in what could be a potential game where Dallas doesn't just, you know, toss it in the can, but we don't see that extreme focused effort.
A definite connection here, and as we talk about Dallas having been point spread darlings for the better portion of the season, now four straight weeks where they failed to cover the number, starting to look more like the ugly duckling, and as you mentioned and alluded to about the bet splits, the public latching on to that a bit, seeing some of these big numbers and looking to go against the Cowboys, although we made the case last week on Sunday Night Football against the Bucs, they really were the right side when you dug into that box score. Tonight's game, Giants in Philadelphia, looking at the Giants, 2-point road favorites in the city of brotherly love. Total in this game has ticked out to 42.5. You do have to lay a little bit of a price if you want to go over that number. Dave Mason mentioned it, Payne. We've seen it. Sharp money coming in on the home underdog. Philadelphia from the penthouse to the outhouse in just a matter of weeks. Carson Wentz goes from a first ballot Hall of Famer on the fast track to Canton to looking like a journeyman quarterback struggling with some of those freshman ailments as he's lost some key cogs, and teams have a little bit more film to break down the young quarterback's strengths and weaknesses.
I have the big thing in this game and why we're seeing a ton of sharp money on Philadelphia despite, you know, 80-plus percent of the tickets coming in on the Giants is obviously rivalry game. This is the game where the Eagles can kind of rally the troops, play for a cause, and it's to really F the Giants. But the big thing here is Lane Johnson, the right tackle. He is back, had the 10-game suspension. What he meant to that team, what he meant to Carson Wentz was huge. He graded out the first 4 weeks as the eighth best tackle in football. It was better than Jason Peters. First 4 weeks. Now, I want to throw this as a little asterisk because everything I do, I like to look at both sides of the coin. So, yes, we have that element the first 4 weeks where Wentz, Peterson, no film on them, and now there's film, and we've seen that regression. So this is going to be probably not indicative of how valuable Lane Johnson has been. But when you look at this, first 4 weeks, Lane Johnson was there. 104 passer rating for Wentz total the first 4 weeks. Three of the four games, he had a passer rating that went over 100. Without Lane Johnson the last 10 games, Wentz hasn't had a single game with a passer rating over 91. And in those 10 games, his average passer rating has been 70. You look at the sack rate with Lane Johnson in versus out. Wentz getting sacked about one time less per game. One time less per game with Lane Johnson in there. So this is big. Lane Johnson is kind of the key to that offensive line. So it also looks like both Matthews are going to be good to go tonight. Sproles is going to be back this week. He passed concussion protocol. So a lot of factors contributing to this Eagle sharp money.
Yeah, it's an interesting game to watch. You mentioned division rivalries and the kind of impact they can have. Philadelphia going to have to do a little bit more work to keep the Giants out of the playoffs, with the Giants now at 10 wins, but obviously can dash any outside chance they have to win the division. Lane Johnson playing a big role. It'll be fascinating to try and watch, even starting to see as we sit here and record on my Donbass mobile that this number is trending towards 1.5 at some of the sharper shops, despite overwhelming public sentiment for the road favorite here in primetime. Now, when we talk about the total, Payne, you mentioned some of the key guys being back for Philadelphia, making a compelling case for the home underdog being live. We saw this number dip as low as 41.5, even some 41s, coming back up this morning at 42. You and I spoke. You said probably Sproles being in, Jenkins probably being out for the Giants. How do we handicap this total number?
I think you have to look at it that, let's just say, Janoris Jenkins is out. Sproles back in, clearly. Lane Johnson back in. So those are all bonuses. I'm just not quite sure what Wentz is. You look last week, 2 for 11 on passes 10 or more yards down the field. We've talked about this, and this offense just being completely dink and dunk. They need to get back to the ground game a little bit more. Dallas, I think when you look at the Giants defense, again, without JPP, now potentially without Jenkins, I think there are some guys that it can fill in that secondary. I also don't think it's a wide receiver core that's going to completely threaten you there. We talk about the road home splits of this Philadelphia defense under Schwartz, just much better at home. I'm not sure what the Giants offense can do. It's very one-dimensional. I think when you look at Philadelphia, where they can be beat is their secondary. That's been kind of trending downwards the last few weeks. For me, though, the magnitude of this game, looking at the offenses, Giants are very one-dimensional with Wentz back there. I think the under makes a lot of sense. Open 21 in the first half. That did not last very long at all. We are trending back towards 21 in the first half because of Sproles, Lane Johnson, Janoris Jenkins potentially being out. I would lean towards him being out. So I think there's value at 21 here. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely 21s out there, and if you're looking for an angle to try and attack, I would concur with that. Of course, BetOnline sitting at 20.5 over minus 125 pain. So a lot of our listeners that have those accounts loaded up may have to shop around for a little bit of a number to get the best of it on this particular game. And as I check the weather forecast here, cool, crisp temperatures, wind, make of it what you will. Looks like 15 miles an hour. Obviously, you're going to want to keep tabs on those flags as we get closer to kickoff. Since you love to tell us, Payne, just because the wind is whistling around atop the stadium doesn't mean it's going to be wreaking havoc on the playing surface itself.
I've never seen a quarterback attempt to pass from atop the press box.
Maybe it's some of those trick shot videos where they're shooting hoops and all that kind of rinky-dink nonsense. It's been known to happen, but you're probably right. I don't think you lead a two-minute offense from 75 to 100 feet above the stadium.
No, and I think we've kind of seen, if you've been monitoring these totals over the last few weeks, back-to-back weeks, the Packers with potential weather getting steamed under, and then we see the official play on game day when the market's at its peak, and you can kind of dump the most money into the market. We saw sophisticated sharp money over again at 38 this past week. Never a issue going over there in the Bears matchup. So there's not a ton of weather here, but the wind is going to play a role. It's not freezing cold. That front that came into New York last week, both for the Saturday Dolphins game, Sunday Giants game, it was a warm front. You know, we saw 45 degrees. Like I said, I made the joke, 45 degrees in December in New York. Like that's shorts weather. You know, get out on the block, open up the fire hydrants, and let's have a little, summer party. That's basically what that is. But I think here in this specific game, when you look at the matchups, and that's the biggest thing, the matchups, the magnitude of this game, 21 is a tough number in the first half. So I think going under 21 makes a ton of sense.
A fully endorsed first half under, home for the first half under, right here at Bet the Board. Of course, Payne, as we look to close the book on our, we have one more podcast in 2016. Want to wish all of our loyal listeners, no matter what holidays you celebrate, a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, our folks across the pond, enjoy Boxing Day on the 26th. I think I've covered everything, but I won't claim to be a model for diversity, so I'm not quite sure there, buddy.
It'll be two more podcasts this year. One more NFL podcast on the 29th, and then at some point early next week, I would say either Tuesday or Wednesday, a bowl podcast. I think that basically is just going to depend on how much Tito's I have for Christmas, whether we do it Tuesday or Wednesday. But we should have a bowl podcast either Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, and then the Thursday Week 17 podcast on the 29th. So two more in 2016. That's it. Time is flying. Not football
like
season.
Like I said at the beginning, at the top of the show, you are in the time flies when you're having fun. And it feels like just yesterday we were breaking down the NFL season. And before we know it, we're going to close the book on the regular season. But want to thank everybody, especially those of you that participated in the 100th episode podcast that made it a raging success. Follow the podcast on Twitter at BetTheBoardPod. Follow Payne at Payne Insider. You can follow me on Twitter at Todd Furman, our weekly guest from BetOnline at Dave Mason, BOL. Check out the website, BetTheBoardPodcast.com. And for those folks still looking to do their last-minute holiday shopping that don't want to brave the malls, and you have that sports gambler in your life, Don Best Mobile, available for iPhone, Android, Make sure you let us know when you sign up for your account. We'll get you a free month of service, whether it's the gold model that you're going after or the platinum with real-time odds right to your mobile phone. Take full advantage of that. Best of luck, NFL Week 16, whatever other sports you bet, bowl games, NBA, NHL. We'll be right back with you early next week. And hopefully in the meantime, we'll see you at the window.